genre.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we kiss the dead lips of Rocky II, one bad poem at a time. I am Jason.
And I'm Doug.
And joining us today, this is midweek, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Thursday.
Very unusual that we have a different guest on a Thursday.
The third day.
So joining us today is Jeff Ferry, who you recall was supposed to be on the show last week, three weeks ago?
Four.
Who knows?
At this point,
with Chris, but he wasn't.
What show is he from?
He is from Jay and Silent Bob Minute. They did Clerks. And you did Mallrats, or you're doing Mallrats?
No, I'm just letting you struggle. It's a good time for me.
I'm keeping every and watch you trip over this.
The funny thing is,
I'm
obviously
doing Mallrats.
That's your show. Take over.
We did Clerks previously, and way before that, we did The Burbs.
Oh, excellent.
But you weren't Jay and Silent Bob Minute at the time.
No, we weren't. We were also, a.k.a. The Burbs Minute. Because, you know, we did it. We did a movie that just had one movie, because we thought we were so smart. We'll do a movie with no sequels. That way, we're not tied into this forever.
Yeah. Yeah,
Then we did Jay and Silent Bob, and now we're in the same boat as you.
Yep, we're, like, as far as the eye can see, we're just elbow deep into minute-by-minute shows.
Yep.
And the exact same boat, because now you're like, oh, good, he's still making movies of Rocky, and it's wonderful.
Tell me about it. Just let Rocky die already.
All right, so today we're knocking out minute 84, which begins with after that and ends with fingers moving. Like, you tell me, like, I mess it up all the time, but how am I, like...
Begins with after that.
Like, that doesn't make any sense, so how am I supposed to read that? And think
maybe I should have put that in quotes.
Well, probably.
You could have just said, begins with a poetry lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, Doug writes the intros, and he wrote, knocking out... The podcast where we kissed the dead lips of Rocky II, one bad poem at a time. I actually like the poem. I don't think it was bad at all. I think it was very
really?
Good.
Yeah. Maybe one bad intro?
It's bad. It is childish.
He's childish. And he's reading to a girl who can't hear it, so it really doesn't matter. And, maybe they can from the call. I've never been in a call. Maybe she can't hear it. Who knows? But I think it was sweet. I think it was very endearing. Honest, genuine.
It reminded me of a kind of poem like my daughter would write.
Yeah.
8, 9, 10 years old, where the only thing they know about a poem is that it has to rhyme.
So right.
They will make whatever crazy connections they need to make it rhyme with the words they need to be in there.
Right. It hardly matters. They start with the rhyming word.
Hey!
They start with the rhyming word and then kind of build the sentence around it to kind of fit like your relationship.
Yeah. It's like, I want to say love, so I'm going to find something that rhymes with love. My dad likes to wear a glove. Okay.
It sounds like the douchey poems that I wrote to girls when I was in high school.
Oh. Now, just imagine if that was today and not back then. Like, everybody threw those papers away. In the digital area, all that stuff would still exist.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine something that I said or did when I was a teenager coming back right now. Because I did some douchey things.
Yeah. Some douchey things yesterday.
When you listen to your podcast from like 6 months ago, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, those are enduring too. They last forever.
I don't know. The first podcast I was on, I'm like, the other guy's talking. I'm just like, oh, hi. It's nice to be here.
I know. It takes a while to get comfortable and find your footing. I think the first episode me and Jay ever recorded together, we sat down in front of the mics and I said, what the f*** are we doing?
I said that this morning when I was driving here.
So here we are. So So the poem continues from yesterday. After that, every day was great. So I want you to know wherever you go, Atlantic City or in the snow, don't worry about a thing because as long as I got this ring, I'll be here to catch you.
That's beautiful.
I was all prepared to come on here and destroy this poem because it gives me the chills. Like the douche chills.
Like why?
If you read this in a book, you'd be like, man, this poem sucks. If you wrote this to your wife who you thought was dying, then it matters. Then it's like, wow, that's something. Because, it's only works in context. It does not work. If I was like, hey, I'm going to give this to my wife. Do you think she's going to like it? You'd be like, just burn that. Never. Don't give that to her.
So I'm being way out of line here.
If she's in a coma, though, yeah, this works. I think it works. Yeah. I think it even works if you wrote it in a card on Valentine's Day. It's a sweet, from the heart, romantic type of poem.
I like my poetry a little deeper.
What are you, Robert Frost?
I'm just glad you were able to pull any poet out of your mouth.
Is it our Walt Whitman? I think isn't
Edgar Allan Poe?
Is he a poet?
Walt Whitman, that was all I got.
Is that why your name is Walt Whitman?
What are you, a bridge?
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even know Walt Whitman was a poet. I thought he was just
why
you don't like.
I thought he was a bridge.
Right.
I thought he was a senator or something.
George Washington was a poet.
God. Go out and find some culture, will you?
I'm just kidding. I've seen Breaking Bad.
Vinnie Verrazano was a poet. All the bridges are named after poets.
George Washington.
Mr. Brooklyn, he was a poet.
Yeah, one of the best. Bobby Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, they have to, the alliteration has to be there.
Walt Whitman? Yeah.
E.E. Cummings?
Is there a bridge named after him?
You mean her?
Oh, boy.
I have no idea if that's right or not. I just wanted to make you feel like an asshole.
Well, mission accomplished.
And one of the greatest poets of all time, Golden Gate. wrote some great, great stuff.
The old Triborough, Mr. Triborough.
Trent Triborough.
Have we covered all the famous bridges or anything?
I think so.
We're not even doing famous bridges. We're just doing local bridges.
That's right.
Old Commodore Barry. Mr. Delaware Memorial.
What's the one that always floods in South Jersey?
I like that you said the one.
There's more than one.
Well, I mean, I'm only talking about the bridges that go into Pennsylvania. They don't flood. If they're flooding, it's like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
There's one I always hear on 101.5 that they're like...
It's got to be up further north where I don't give a shit about those people.
Yeah, maybe like Princeton area. Keep it a local here on Rocky Minute.
Yeah. Well, listen, to be honest, Rocky's not giving us a lot. Here, if you want to talk about something, I'll talk about something. Let's talk about that crucifix that's going on behind Adrian there.
That giant belonging in a church crucifix?
Yes.
You know what? You always talk about color theory. I'm going to talk about religion theory. There's a lot... Why are you touching my phone?
Mine.
There's a lot of this minute actually has a lot of religious, because you have this giant crucifix behind the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on the hallway with Paulie, and there's two religious statues, one on each wall.
Mm-hmm.
You have and not only do you have the giant crucifix on the wall, but in the beginning scene here, you have Rocky's crucifix hanging from his neck.
Yeah, it's really dangling.
They're really pushing the religion here.
Here's some trivia for you. What's the difference between a cross and a crucifix?
A crucifix has Jesus on it?
Yes.
A cross doesn't?
Yeah, a crucifix has Jesus on it.
You can't challenge one. Jay.
Jesus.
I'm a
religious person.
Well, you live in Jersey. You should know at least the basis of this. You were surrounded by Irish and Italians.
And Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's unlikely they would have a crucifix with them.
Yes, yes. Very, very unlikely. Or crosses, for that matter.
Yeah.
So he kisses her.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, you know, I'll hold on my color theory thing again. Okay. But when Paulie's pacing the hallway here, he goes like, it's really not too much deeper into the book, but he does go deeper in the book about it. Paulie's devastated.
You know, I agree with you. He looks like he's really concerned. And the fact that he's been at the hospital a lot, and I wanted to ask you about that. Do you think? Paulie obviously loves his sister, and he obviously likes Rocky, so he's probably really concerned, really caring. Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he probably feels guilty because he was the one yelling at Adrian when this began? Mm-hmm. Like, he was in the pet shop yelling at her, giving her shit. And she was yelling back at him, and then the stomach pain started. So this whole thing, do you think part of him feels like he brought this on?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, besides the fact that he's just normally a piece of garbage, I don't know if you've ever had somebody die or get sick, and then you try to think back to the last time you talked to them about something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And pray to God that it wasn't something like you said, I hope you die, or you said something mean to them, or I hate you, and then you're like, oh, crap, now I'm never going to have a chance to see this person again.
Or in Paulie's case, I think it was, feeding these goddamn squirrels!
Yeah.
But we also saw back then, you know, when you watch it like frame by frame, that minute when he knocks the cup of squirrel food out of his out of her hand, he hits her stomach. So maybe he feels responsible for all of it, like he caused it.
Yeah, I mean, you can be a terrible person and still love your sister. Like, you can still, I mean, all the stuff he's done to her, he can still love her deeply more than anybody else in the world and still be a bad person. That's why this is a great movie, because he's not one-dimensional.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He is a bad person, but he also does really nice things occasionally.
He has a six-movie character arc. Like, we really see the culmination of it in Rocky Balboa. I know Jay loves when I talk ahead, but, you know, he has a moment, with Rocky. When he admits that he was a piece of shit to Adrian.
And we took him 50 years to get to that point.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But I'm wondering if this is maybe like the beginning of his transformation. I know Rocky III, when he's drunk, he, you know, does some shitty things. But really, for the rest of Rocky III, from like when he starts, when Apollo starts training him, throughout Rocky IV, he's pretty much a cartoon character. He's like the comic relief, as a guest from a couple of weeks said.
And then he's just a plot device in five.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I'm wondering if this is like where he changes, where he's like, starts to think like, I've been such a piece of shit to her, and now I might lose her.
A lot of times you think like that when, you know, when you risk losing someone or someone does pass, wherever you think of, if you treated them poorly, and you know, if you always do the things like, he probably, like, at some point was in the chapel going, God, if you just let her live, I'll never be mean to her again. Kind of those conversations you have when people are dying or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then the real question is, when the person gets better and recovers,
you don't care anymore.
Do you stick to that anymore?
No.
No, it's just like somebody that gets drunk and is puking in the toilet going, oh, my God, I'll never drink again. I swear to God, just get me through tonight. I'll never drink again.
Next day?
Yeah.
Right back at it. I don't know. You in the old days, too, you think about shitty fathers, you know, shitty uncles. Like, it was always the older generation that treated people like shit. Now, you don't see people like Paulie nowadays.
Oh, yeah,
I think you don't, huh?
Actually,
I was going to say, when you guys are out working, you don't see people like that? I find that impossible to believe.
In our line of work, you probably see it more than we should.
I was going to say, I still see plenty of it. I mean, the only difference is it's got to be – normally it has to be more behind closed doors now. You can't get away with much of this out in public. Like if you were just to start – he just started screaming at Adrian in public or hit her in public or something, you're more likely to have people step in or at the very least videotape you and smash you on social media.
Call the police.
Yeah. Where now, like the old days, I feel like if somebody saw somebody hitting their wife or something like in the front yard, they'd be like, well, that's their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it'd be like, oh, that's my business. I'm calling the police.
Yeah. We got a lot of calls like that. Third party.
Yeah. I think – I don't know if I told the story. I didn't tell it on yours. I know I told it on mine. When I was like maybe 10 years old, me and my neighbor sitting in front of our house, and the neighbor across the street, lady, comes running outside, husband five steps behind her, and he grabbed her by the back of her head and punched her right in the face.
Oh, shit.
And we were just there, eyes as big as saucers. We look over. His dad's outside raking. I just see the rake hit the ground. He walks inside, comes back outside. He goes, hey, guys, why don't you come over here?
Yeah.
We go over to him, and all the cops from my town pull up.
Oh, really?
And they go in, and when they were pulling this guy outside, this guy used to be a Marine, so he thought he was tough. So he took a swing at the cops. That was a mistake.
You saw all this go down?
Yes. And then I saw him one more time, like 2 weeks later, taking his bags out of there.
Oh, man. Well, she followed through with it, huh?
Yeah. It was the rare one. It must have been enough for her.
Was it like an older – were they older?
She was probably – I mean, like parents age? In my 10-year-old eyes, she was 75. But they were probably like, you know, mid-40s, maybe 50.
So maybe a little older than your parents were at the time?
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's nice. And I mean, I lived in the suburbs. This was not like somewhere bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you know, Sonny Corleone beating the shit out of what's his name in the middle of the street.
The difference was this guy's punch totally landed.
You know, when you brought that up, I must have watched that clip like 20 times. Like, just how did that even.
It is not even close. He misses him by a foot.
Yeah. How did the
it's not even his
not
fault because
up?
He's stage fighting, and that's how you stage fight. The problem is the camera's in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Coppola's like, I can't reshoot this. No one's gonna see it. It's two seconds on the theater screen for 2 seconds. Nobody's ever gonna see this. cut to everybody having, you know, VHS and DVD. It's like, oh, crap, we can't make mistakes anymore.
Yeah, right. Even on VHS, maybe you didn't notice it because of, you know, shitty quality of VHS tapes back in the day.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, it's all grainy. You're like, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. Did he hit him? I don't know. I can't tell what's going on.
You try to replay it and the tracking line's in the way.
I remember that. You try to rewind and pause. You pause and the tracking lines would go through the middle. You're like,
yep.
Trying to see what's going on.
I'm trying to see a boob here.
Yeah. Stop that.
Oh, we have another night, Jay, right by Adrian's bedside. Also, if I can go back to the book.
Oh, no.
I'm not picking it up. I'm just referring to it. What if we just said no?
Oh, wait, before you go there, anyone know probably smoking in the hallway of a hospital? When was smoking
the 70s.
Like, I know smoking back in the day was a lot more prevalent, and you could do it pretty much everywhere, but the hospital would still even surprise me.
Yeah, like around all the...
I can't believe you'd be able to smoke on planes. Like, you're in this tube cab, you know, pressurized cabin flying, and people are just lighting up. But in a hospital, I would still find that to be a little bit... Even surprising, even for the 70s.
It's like, look at these newborns.
But here in the book, like this whole coma scene, Rocky never sleeps. He's every night when visiting, when the nurse throws him out, he goes to the chapel. He sits in the chapel all night.
And we're gonna
we left it open. Start going.
Yeah, let's go. He sits in the chapel all night, and every morning he goes back to the room.
How long is she in a coma for? Do we know?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Days? Definitely days. Mm-hmm. But Mickey's right by his side the whole time.
Right.
So he goes to the chapel with him. He sits in Adrian's room all day. And Rocky makes a note a couple of times about how old Mickey starts to look. Like, well, he starts off old.
But that's one other thing is that we always say, like, you know, Rocky and Adrian are like these two people who don't have anybody else, and they found each other, and all they have is each other, this and that. But Paulie is here through the whole thing, and Mickey's here through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know.
Those are people.
Those are people that are obviously there. And I'm sure I would like to see Gazzo stop by and pay some condolences, possibly. Not condolences, he's still alive.
I was going to say, I would like Gazzo to pick up the bill.
Right. I would like Gazzo to stop by. But, you know, it's nice to see that. They do have these two people who, although they have their issues, like Paulie is an asshole most of the time, and Mickey, I feel like, only really cares about boxing up until this point. They do care about Rocky and Adrian. They are there for them. They do have these people that are in their corner,
like the boxing metaphor.
It's nice to see that they're there the whole time. And Mickey's, you know, he's in it.
Yeah.
But this is also a step, as much as it is, this is a step in forward in Mickey and Rocky's relationship. Because you would have to be at some point, like, if you're Rocky, you would have to, you recognize the fact that Mickey's been here the whole time, that Mickey's not leaving you, that Mickey's there, you're a team. And, you know, when it goes back to when Mickey shows up at Rocky's house and says, let's knock his block off, saying that, hey, we're in this together, we're a team. And this is part of the transition from the beginning of the movie to what it changes into after this. Maybe sometime tomorrow or the next day changes to a different type of movie, kind of. Mm-hmm. So, but this has to happen. Like, you have to, the relationship between Mickey and Rocky has to change also. And this is the scenes when it does, I think.
Yeah, they were trainer, boxer first, and they were probably like also sort of friends. And I think it probably switches after this.
Right.
Where they're friends first, and he also is his trainer.
Yeah, there's some father-son kind of, you know, feeling here. But Mickey's also, he doesn't strike me, and I mean, he doesn't Hell seem not. Like a very a very religious person, poison.
Mm-hmm.
But in the here in the book and the script, it notes that, like, night after night, Mickey's here with Rocky sitting there. But for the first time, like the last night that they're there, he says, Mickey puts his head down and silently prays. Mm. So he's finally, like, joining Rocky in the whole prayer aspect human. Of it. Yeah, I guess. I mean, okay. He's not a withered old man. I mean, he is a withered old man. Why not be a human, too?
I thought you were gonna go into your Gazzo stuff. You got no Gazzo stuff for us?
Not till tomorrow.
You freaking tease.
We hear a little change in the music, slight change, right? Mm-hmm. We've a lot of violins and a lot of, like, that vigil piece of music, they call it.
Bill Conti just woke up.
We hear the dun dun dun, and that's and just as her fingers start to move,
the minute ends.
Is the minute over already?
You always have that when someone's in a coma, in a movie coma. There's always that moment where they do that first twitch, that first slight movement, and you're like, mm-hmm. like, and this is it, and this minute ends perfectly.
Hmm. I was going to say, yeah, I got more on the movie coma tomorrow.
All right. I guess we can kind of jump right in then. So why don't you, Jeff, tell us about Jane Silent Bob Minute?
Jane Silent Bob Minute is a Movies by Minutes, which you should be semi-familiar with if you're listening to this. We cover the movies of Kevin Smith that feature the characters Jay and Silent Bob. We started with Clerks. We're on Mallrats now. Next year, we'll be doing Chasing Amy. So join us for that one next year where you watch me and Chris try to stumble through how to navigate those waters.
They're treacherous waters Minute. For sure.
Yeah. We're also on DuelingGyro.com with these morons. There's plenty of other good shows over there, not just ours. There's actual good ones there. Also, you can check out, I don't know, we did the Burbs. I'm also on Slycast, which I guess technically makes me some sort of fake authority on Stallone, although I'm probably the fourth least knowledgeable person on that show. Maybe like sixth least knowledgeable now, since you're on there with Ryan all the time.
Well, we're not on the Slycast.
You're on our feed more than we are. I haven't been on an episode in like 3 months.
What was the last one you guys did? The Judge Dredd?
Yeah, we did Judge Dredd. Oof. And I don't even remember what's after that. The heck is after that? I don't even remember. Yeah, we're doing all Stallone's movies in order, allegedly. Although he is theoretically, he is making them faster than we're doing episodes
at this point.
Right. He's going to be long gone by the time we ever get around to, like, we'll be like, hey, we're covering his stuff. Oh, wait, he died 16 years ago.
Rambo 5. And you guys will be old and withered.
Yeah, well, I think that's it for us. So come find us or not. I don't
know. All right.
Oh, you can find us on, go to our listeners group, Mighty Mix on Facebook. We're also at Rocky Minute on all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter. You know what they are. We're on DuelingGenre.com, where you can download or listen to this and all of our other previous episodes and future episodes. And that's we have an email, but no one emails us, so forget that. And if you want to buy a shirt, go to TeePublic, get yourself a shirt.
Oh, yeah. We haven't plugged TeePublic in a while.
There you go.
Good luck finding the Rocky Minute shirts, yeah. But I post a link to our storefront right in Mighty Mix.
So head over to Mighty Mix. You can get some episodes, some t-shirts, and that's it. All right, so we'll see you guys tomorrow. Jeff's coming back tomorrow, I believe, right?
I'll see if I can work it in my schedule and if you guys can reach my price point.
Okay. All right, so see everybody tomorrow on another Rocky Minute. Bye.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Apparently, you do a great Kermit, Jay.
Hey, ho. Hello.
Listen, I don't know if the word great is. There's no difference. The difference between me and Chris is whatever gets brought up on our show, I will do an impression of it, no matter if I have that impression or not. Mm-hmm. So anytime anybody gets brought up, I try to do an impression of them. But they're not really impressions. They're just, you know, they kind of sound.
Loosely based on the character.
And I do the same thing everybody does. Like when you do a Kermit, you're, hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. You just do the one line you know.
And I always say you have to start off with the hey ho.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get it. Right. And that, like when I do my English. When I do my English accent, I got to start off with hello.
Hello, Governor.